returning is not always as straightforward as it might seem. I should assure our new canon theologian that the choice of readings for Evensong today, focusing as they've done on the sins of humanity and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, have not intended in any way to comment on Dr. Hawke's performance here as a minor canon and precentor, or on any particular indiscretion. We are by no means in the territory of Edward de Vere, 17th Earl of Oxford, returning to the court of the first Queen Elizabeth 7 years after a regrettable incident and being told by the Queen, "My Lord, we had forgot the fart." For Queen Elizabeth I, it seems, ambiguity was all. No. To receive Jamie and Carol back to the Abbey a little over 3 years after their departure to Cambridge is a very real pleasure. Life is different, roles are different. The Abbey, as every other institution or organization, keeps changing and things are different. But the essential character of the Abbey and its place in our national life and the world community, though they've continued to evolve over the past 1,000 or more years, remain rooted in the service of Almighty God and of the Crown and people, and in that sense have never changed. Canon Hawke stands in succession from Canon David Mitchell, who was a canon of Westminster from 1660 to 1662 and went on to be Bishop of Aberdeen. The succession includes in the 20th century, I won't go through the whole history, J. Armitage Robinson, who went on to be Dean of Westminster, then of Wells, Ernest Pierce, who became Bishop of Worcester, the great William Temple, who went on to be Bishop of Manchester and then Archbishop of York, and finally for 2 years Archbishop of Canterbury, John Austin Baker, who went on to be Bishop of Salisbury, Anthony Harvey, whose work led to the commemoration of the 20th century martyrs, Tom Wright, who went on to be Bishop of Durham and is now a professor at St. Andrews, still busily writing, and most recently Nick Sagowski, happily here, and Vernon White. We're confident that the name of James Hawke will shine brightly in that succession. What is Jamie here to do? Above all, he's here to be a key part of the praying community of the Abbey, at the daily offices and at the Eucharist. He will preside and preach. Then he'll take on a number of particular responsibilities, sitting alongside his role as canon in residence, as he promised for 3 months of the year. With the dean, the canon treasurer, the rector of St. Margaret's, and the canon steward, supported by the receiver general and chapter clerk, Jamie will play a key part in the responsibilities of the dean and chapter, the governing body, the clerical heart of the Abbey. He will attend formal and informal meetings of the chapter and will be a member of the governing body of the Choir School and the Westminster Abbey Fabric Commission. He'll be a member of the steering group and an active participant in the Westminster Abbey Institute we launched 5 years ago. None of this is light or insignificant, but it's perhaps not at the heart of his purpose here. He is a theologian. So to ponder the things of God and the Word of God, to help his colleagues equally to ponder, and to be an example and encouragement to us and to the Abbey community in these things, to produce some of the fruit of his own ponderings in sermons and lectures and writings. We hope that the business and matter with which Jamie will inevitably deal will pale beside the great task of being a theologian. There are risks here. We know Jamie to be an activist and to love society. At Clare, he's inevitably and properly taken a leading role in the life of the college, but he's also taken on other responsibilities within the church. He's a member of the Meissen Commission, exploring the prospect of reconciliation between Canterbury and Rome. He's given active support in this country to the Anglican Centre in Rome. He's a member of the official dialogue between Anglicans and the Reformed churches. It may be that part of the role of the canon theologian of Westminster Abbey is to be a gift to the wider church, but there are various ways of playing the role. And it may well be that the greatest responsibility is to make the time to write, to lay down for the wider ecclesial and secular community some serious theological thinking for people to ponder and consider and come to their own conclusions. Jamie will not be subject to the research exercise framework. He need not spend time writing clever articles for learned journals. Let him write books. If I may say so, Jamie brings particular elements to the church which the church really needs to benefit from at this time. Brought up as an Anglo-Catholic in the Diocese of Chichester, educated at a Roman Catholic secondary school, steeped in Anglican theology and ecclesiology at Cambridge, with a strong whiff of Roman theology, nurtured by one of the Anglican theologian bishops, and with experience here and again in Cambridge, Jamie is fully armed and directed towards having a significant influence on the Church of England's self-understanding, as well as its wider connections. I profoundly hope and pray that here he can begin to fulfill this expectation over the next few years before he goes on more widely into the fray. We pray that Jamie and Carol will be richly blessed in their life together in this Abbey community. Carol holds significant responsibilities within the church, working as she does in a highly important post within the church commissioners. We're delighted to welcome Carol and Jamie back to the church where they were married, rather publicly, almost 7 years ago. And we invoke the blessing of Almighty God on them both and on their life here. Amen.